Good morning. My name is Rick Hayden, and as one of the elders of the church, I have been charged with bringing you the message this morning. And as you can see in the bulletin, the title of my message is, Christ Will Hold You Fast. This message this morning is one that God has laid on my heart, and I hope you find it as an encouragement to those of you who know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And anyone here today or listening on the radio who may not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I pray that it will speak to your heart. So I pray that God will give us all ears to hear. So before I begin, I'd like to bow in prayer. Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I stand here humbly behind this pulpit today. Under your grace and before the congregation, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be with me. As I share the message that you have laid on my heart, I pray that I do not get in the way of the message you have given me, and that I'll be a true reflection of Jesus Christ. I ask that you help me be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit and to accurately and rightly preach the truth of your holy word, the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 10, I'd like to read verses 22 through 30. And in your pew Bible, it can be found on page 1065 in your pew Bible. This is a passage about Jesus Christ as the good shepherd, and that Christ and God and God the Father are one. So follow along as I read John chapter 10, verses 22 through 30. At the time the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem, it was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. But you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." God has blessed us in so many ways. I think one of the greatest blessings we have to give thanks for is the security of our salvation in Jesus Christ, that He will hold us fast and will not let us go. A hymn that we regularly sing here at the Baptist Church is the hymn, "He Will Hold Us Fast." In the heart of every believer, a believer needs to know what they started out doing, believing in Christ, will be true until the end, and that they need to put their trust in something stronger than themselves. And this song speaks to that reality. In researching the hymn, "He Will Hold Me Fast," the hymn was actually written by a lady named Ada Ruth Abershon. Her husband had a friend named Robert Harkness, and Harkness was talking to a young man in Canada named Matthew Merker at a Bible conference. And talking with this young man, Merker told him that he was struggling with the idea of staying faithful to Christ throughout his life. He was very concerned about the security of his salvation. So then Harkness, who Matthew Merker was speaking to, wrote to his friend, who was a hymn writer, and said it would be great if there was a song about the assurance of salvation. Well, that hymn writer's wife, Ada Ruth Abershon, took up her pen and wrote the song, "He Will Hold Me Fast." When I fear my faith will fail, He will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, He will hold me fast. I can never keep my hold through life's fearful path, for my love is often cold. He must hold me fast. The term or phrase, hold fast, means to remain held tightly secure. He will hold me fast should resonate in the heart of every believer. That song or phrase, He will hold me fast, gives strength and encouragement. We need to know that Christ will hold us fast. I had someone just a few days ago said that he was so glad that he didn't have to worry when he lay his head down at night, that he was still saved and right with God. One of God's greatest gifts to us is knowing that we for sure are saved. The verse in John chapter 10, verses 27 through 28 that we read this morning are among the strongest in the New Testament regarding the eternal security of the genuine believer in Christ. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. What a wonderful, reassuring passage this is for the true believer. The Lord Jesus is telling that those who are His for all eternity. And we know all means all. He is holding them in His hand and is caring for those that the Father has given. In John 10, 27 through 29, there are six separate statements that are made concerning my sheep. One, they listen to God's voice. Two, He knows them. Three, they follow Him. Four, He gives them eternal life. Five, they shall never perish. And six, no one will snatch them out of His hand. These are six distinct things said about those who are His sheep. God's hand is a hand that holds. He not only holds, He holds us fast, tightly, secure. When a father or a mother holds the hand of a small child to lead him or her safely through some place of real danger, that father or mother will not let that little hand go, even though the child might try to pull away. Just as a shepherd protects his sheep, the security of Jesus' sheep rests with Him as the good shepherd, who has the power to keep them safe and to protect His sheep from eternal harm. Satan cannot harm their souls or take away their eternal life with God. Verse 29 makes clear that the Father ultimately stands behind the sheep's security, for no one is able to take them from God's hand, who is in sovereign control of all things. For there is no stronger passage in the Old or New Testament for the absolute eternal security of every true believer. The question left then is, has the sheep or the true believer the power to remove himself from God's hand, contrary to His will and purpose? To admit this would be to contradict Jesus' words, "My Father is greater than all." The all includes the sheep. It also would contradict His words, "They shall never perish." The true believer will never perish. He will never want to disobey or leave his Savior's side because he has made Jesus his true Lord and Savior and Redeemer of his life and cherishes the ultimate sacrifice paid for him on the cross. When Jesus said, "My sheep shall never perish," it is unconditional and final. It is to be accepted in simple faith and made the subject of rejoicing and thanksgiving. John 6, 37 through 39 states, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but to do the will of the Father who sent me. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that I shall lose nothing of all that He has given me, but raise it up on the last day." In John 10, 27 to 29, These verses contain at least five statements from Jesus regarding the security of salvation of his sheep. Number one is eternal life. John 10:28 states, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them." The first promise we have here is found in the fact that Jesus says he gives his sheep eternal life. If something is eternal, how long will it last? It lasts forever, right? Eternal life is life that lasts forever. The Greek word for eternal is spelled A-I-O-N-I-O-S. I believe it's pronounced aionios, which means a future period that has no end. So, eternal life then, life that has no end. So when might you lose your life that has no end? If it has no end, that means it's not going to end. That is what eternal life is. So if you can lose it, it is not eternal life. You would have to call it something else, like maybe temporary life. But it would not be eternal life. Eternal life lasts forever. If it doesn't last forever, it is not eternal life. But Jesus said here, "I give eternal life to them." So when you are saved, you get eternal life, which means that it will never end. And no, it is not that if you do good enough through life, that in the end, Jesus will give you eternal life. He didn't say, "I will give my sheep eternal life." He said, "I give them eternal life." It is present tense. He gives his sheep who hear his voice and follow him eternal life right now. And as we have seen, eternal life means it will never end. So when you truly commit your life to Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. And that begins right here on earth, right now. It will never end for any reason, period. As I was preparing for my sermon, I came across this illustration. In 2018, there were a lot of people concerned because the Sears stores were doing poorly. The company began closing stores and there was talk about going into bankruptcy. People started asking, "What about the warranties?" Because for years, Sears advertised that their Kenmore parts had a lifetime warranty. But if Sears goes out of business, then that lifetime warranty may not really be a lifetime warranty at all. A blanket promise like that is only as good as the one who is giving it. But let me tell you something. God is not going out of business. When God says, "I give you eternal life," it really is eternal life. It will never end. Last week, Ken Johnson preached on grace, and one of the hymns that we sang was Amazing Grace. It is just like the verse in that song of Amazing Grace that says, "When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun." Amazing Grace says it so well. When does eternal life end? Never. After 10,000 years in heaven, we still have as much time as we ever had at first, because it never ends. The first reason we see here why believers in Christ can be secure in their salvation is because Jesus didn't say he was giving temporary life. He said he was giving us eternal life, which means life will never end. You don't have to worry about losing it today, tomorrow, or the next time you really mess up. You can never lose it. Jesus said he was giving us eternal life. The next point is in John, the first part of chapter John 10, verse 28. He says, "I give them eternal life." Here is the second promise for the believer. as we saw a moment ago. Jesus said he gives us eternal life. Eternal life is a gift. He gives it to us. This is just what Romans 6:23 says. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says that eternal life is not something that any of us earn. We have all sinned. In Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death. So what we all deserve is eternal death, separated from God forever. None of us earn or deserve eternal life. And that's just what Ephesians 2:8 through 9 says, isn't it? For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, so that no one may boast. The Bible says none of us are saved because of how good we are. We are only saved by God's grace. Now, most people don't really understand that. They are trying to be good enough to earn a place in heaven by going to church, doing good deeds. But the Bible says in Romans 3:20, for by the works of the law, no human being shall be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. None of us can earn salvation. The only way you can ever be saved is first to realize that you can never deserve it. Second, that you need a Savior from your sins, who is Jesus Christ. And third, receive God's gift of forgiveness and salvation through in His Son, Jesus Christ. Charles Spurgeon, the famous English preacher who lived in the 1800s, once started a sermon on a big grandstand saying, I want to sell you something this evening. He said, now usually the person with something to sell endeavors to get you up to their price. But Spurgeon said, tonight, my job is to bring you down to it. He was preaching from Isaiah 55:1. Which says that salvation is without money and without price. He said for us to be saved, we have to come down to God's price. We can't earn it or deserve it. If we're going to get salvation, we must receive it as a gift. Christ already paid the price for our sins on the cross, for you and for me. All we need to do is accept the gift. So, if we did not earn our salvation by our good works, how can we unearn it? By our bad works. See, the only way you can think you are going to lose your salvation by your works is if you thought you gained it by your works in the first place. And we didn't. Salvation is a gift. And you can't unearn a gift. Jesus says, I give eternal life to them so that should make us secure in our salvation. My third point is that it says in John 10:28, never perish. The most popular and most memorized verse in the whole Bible is probably John 3:16. And most of us, if not all of us, can recite it by heart. The ESV version translates this verse like this: for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The New American Standard version of this verse says, will not perish. Now, perish here refers to eternal destruction apart from God forever. It's the word Jesus uses in John 3:16, where he says, if you believe in him, you will not perish. The Bible word never here is really two Greek Bible words spelled O-U-M-E, and I believe it's pronounced ume. It is a double negative, like not, not. Now in English, you aren't supposed to use a double negative. There isn't no other way. It is not considered to be good English. But in Greek, they do use a double negative. When they want to really emphasize that something will not happen, it is a way of saying, by no means, not even a possibility. There are other places in Scripture where this combination of "may" is used to emphasize that something will never happen, and I'd like to share those with you. In Matthew 5:20, Jesus says, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never, may, no possibility, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Matthew 24:35, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not, may, not, never, even a possibility that his words will pass away." In Deuteronomy 31:8, where God says, "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." He uses me. He's saying, there is not even a possibility that I'm ever going to leave you or forsake you. Like Psalms 27:10 says, "For my father and mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in." Again, may. There is not even a possibility that he will leave you. So there is not a possibility that you can get into heaven unless you're more righteous than the scribes and Pharisees. There is not a possibility that Jesus' words will ever pass away. And there's not even a possibility that God will ever leave you or forsake you. And in the same way, Jesus says that there is not a possibility that his true sheep will never perish. He says, they will never perish. May, the double negative. It ain't going to happen. There is not even a possibility that one of Jesus' sheep will ever perish. Their salvation is secure. Point four is, no one will snatch them out of my hand. In John 10:28, it says, "I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." So when you are one of Jesus' sheep, he says you are in his hand. Being in his hand, just who does he say will be able to snatch you out? No one. Jesus says, not even the devil himself is powerful enough to snatch Christ's sheep out of his hand. There are a lot of people who come against us as Christians, but he says, none of them, no one can take you out of his hand. People can be so discouraging, can't they? And maybe someone or some group has discouraged you in your Christian walk. It may be a fact that you are totally discouraged in your Christian life, and you are just about ready to throw in the towel. But let me give you another fact. There may be people or situations and circumstances in life that can totally overwhelm you with anxiety and discouragement. I get that. I feel that way sometimes too. But Jesus said, they cannot pluck you out of his hand. Or what about the devil himself? Charles Spurgeon has a great book for young preachers. It's called Lectures to My Students. And in it, he warns young men in the ministry to beware of Satan's temptations. He says, don't get in the position where Satan tempts you and defeats you and glories against Jesus Christ himself and says, these are your champions. I can make your best servants abuse you. I think all of us would say, I don't ever want that to happen to me. But what if it did? Satan may tempt you. He may defeat you. He may embarrass you and humiliate you. He may, with God's permission, strike your body from head to foot like he did Job. But there is one thing he cannot do. He cannot pluck you out of God's hand. Who can take you from God's hand when he has promised to hold you? Romans 8 asks this very question. Romans 8:35 says, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? No, In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. No one can separate you from his love. Jesus said, nothing can pluck you out of his hand. And the fifth point is my Father. Jesus said here in verse 29 through 30, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Jesus said his Father is the key to our eternal security. The whole matter of security is summarized in our Lord's own words in John 6, 39 through 40. And this is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. He said the Father gave his sheep to Jesus, who is greater than all, and who holds us in his hand. Here is a triple promise that our salvation depends on God and not merely on our own efforts. One, the Father gave these sheep to Jesus. Two, he is greater than all. And three, he holds them in his hand, and there is no one who can take them out. The Bible repeatedly teaches us that our eternal security is based on God's power and faithfulness and not merely on ours. Ephesians 1:13-14 says, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. The Bible says when we hear the gospel and believe it, the Holy Spirit comes and seals us as belonging to him. A seal is a mark of ownership. When Jesus was buried, the Bible says the Roman soldiers put a seal on his tomb. It was their way of saying, this tomb belongs to Rome. Do not mess with it. In the same way, the Bible says here, when a person is saved, God puts his seal or his mark of ownership on that person's heart, saying, this one belongs to me. And it goes on to say in verse 14 that the Holy Spirit is a guarantee or a pledge of our inheritance in heaven. The word pledge there is like our term earnest money. When you decide to buy a home, you put down earnest money as a way of saying, I am really going to buy this. And if I don't, though, I will forfeit the earnest money I put down. So God says here, when you get saved, he gives his Holy Spirit as his earnest money, that you will actually be his on the day of redemption. He has promised to take you to heaven. And if he doesn't, he would forfeit his own Holy Spirit. And of course, he's not going to do that. But that is how strong that promise is. He has given the earnest money of his Holy Spirit as the guarantee of your salvation. You are eternally secure, kept by the promise of God. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have entrusted to him until that day. Paul says God is guarding and keeping our salvation until the day we come to him. We might not be able to keep ourselves, but he keeps us, which gives us security in our salvation. Then Paul said in the next chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. That's one of my very favorite verses. Our hope of heaven is not based on our own faithlessness. If it was, none of us would ever be confident that we are going to heaven. But instead, it says, even when we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. We may indeed be faithless in our Christian walk, just like Peter and Thomas and the others were at different times in their walk with the Lord. But despite our faithfulness, God is always faithful. He will not go back on his promises, even if we go back on ours. So again, we see our security is based on Christ, not on us. That God is holding us, and it is a guarantee of our eternal salvation. I remember several years ago when my daughter Leah was young and learning how to swim. I would stand in the water at the swimming pool and encouraging her to jump into my arms at the edge of the pool. As a loving father, I had to assure her that I would catch her and not let her drown. Now, as you know, for a little kid, that takes a lot of faith. She had to feel confident and trust me that I would catch her, hold her, and keep her safe. When she finally took that leap of faith, I caught her. I had a hold of her, holding her in my arm. She was clinging to me so tight, like her life depended on it. You may notice that a lot of kids do that. I was carrying my little grandson, Liam, one day, and I had a firm grip on him, but I noticed he had a hold of my shirt. It was just all wadded up in his hand, and he was just hanging on. You've seen that. When you can see their little hand just holding on to your shirt, just like their life depended on it. But here's the thing, and you know this is true. The security of my grandson and all the children we hold is not dependent on how strong their grip is on us. Their security is based on how strongly we have a hold of them. And Jesus teaches us here that same thing is true of us and God and our eternal salvation. Our eternal security is not based on how strong we hold on to God, but how strongly he holds on to us. 2 Timothy says, though we are faithless, he will remain faithful. Can you sin and lose your peace? Yes, you can. Can you sin and lose your joy? You sure can. Can you sin and lose your sense of closeness to God? Yes, you can. But you cannot sin and lose your salvation. You were saved by the power and faithfulness of God, and you will be kept secure by that same power and faithfulness of God. So in conclusion, I have a question for you, and the question is this. Do you have this security of knowing that you will spend eternity with Jesus Christ in heaven? Do you have this greatest blessing? Here is something we need to make very clear before we close. Jesus' great promise here for eternal security is not just for everyone who has ever supposedly made a decision. This is a tragic error that so many people make. They say things like, well, I suppose I made a decision when I was 6, but I didn't know what I was doing. I haven't really lived for the Lord ever since. But you know, once saved, always saved, right? No, that is a lie from the devil. Yes, Jesus says he gives eternal life to his sheep, but he also said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You need to hear what Jesus is saying here. If you are not hearing his voice and you are not following him, then you can have no confidence at all that you really are his sheep. And the promises of these verses do not apply to you. So don't be deceived. But if you are one of Jesus' sheep, you will be hearing his voice and his word through his Holy Spirit. And you will be following him. Maybe not as perfectly as you ought to, but you will be following him. And if you are following him, then you can have every confidence that you really are his sheep, and your salvation has the fivefold guarantee that Jesus has shown us in these verses. And when you feel your faith will fail, Christ will hold you fast. When the tempter would prevail, he will hold you fast. He will hold you fast. He will hold you fast. For your Savior loves you so, he will hold you fast. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, when we feel our faith will fail, thank you for holding us fast. When we feel that we are losing the battle, we thank you that you are faithful to yourself and your word, and that you hold us fast, tightly, secure. Thank you that no one can ever take us out of your hand. Thank you for the security of our salvation that is found only in you, and that you love us with an everlasting love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.